What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today we're going to be recapping a 1-2 week for the Wizards post-All-Star break. We're going to be talking about the Bucks game with Kyle Kuzma returning to D.C. We're going to talk about the Magic game that was kind of a blowout, and then, you know, we're going to talk about Washington's third win of the season over Brooklyn. They've kind of become Nets merchants. Three of their 10 wins have come over Brooklyn. Number one, that's because Brooklyn's terrible. But number two, they actually played a really solid game on both ends. It was the first time they held an opponent under 100 points all season, you know, partly because the Nets are terrible and partly because the Wizards defense, you know, over the last couple of games has actually gotten better. Whether that's because of personnel, like guys like Marcus Smart entering the fold, or whether it's because they're kind of buying into whatever defensive scheme they're playing, it's a lot better for a team that, you know, gives up the most points in the league this season. To be giving up less than 100, obviously, it's a little bit of a step in the right direction. So I'm going to talk about that, you know, talk about some more big picture points, like, you know, look ahead, tank standings, where the Wizards stand in relation to teams. I'm going to give my Memphis pick tracker, because I know a lot of people are curious as to where that Wizards pick might fall. Also want to give an update on the Suns pick, because they are terrible. And also talk about some big picture stuff like Champagne that I've noticed, some good things with him. Keyshawn George has been balling. Bub's gotten better. Some the takeaways from the injuries with Alex Saar missing a lot of games. I've gotten a lot of DMs about that. So getting right into it, we can talk about the Bucks game a little bit, but for the most part, like that was just a, you know, really good first half for the Wizards, and then the Bucks adjusted and kind of took that game from the Wizards. I mean, Giannis didn't really play much. He was dealing with an injury, it seemed like, the entire game. But at the same time, you know, Washington out of the third quarter, and the third quarters were so bad against Orlando and against Brooklyn. And people even forget it was terrible against Milwaukee. I mean, the Wizards were leading at halftime, right? They were up six, and then Milwaukee goes on this big run, outscores them. 14-2 run to start the half. It's commonplace. I mean, the Wizards can't get out of their own way out of halftime. I don't know if it's because Brian Keefe and his coaching staff don't adjust well. I mean, Wizards fans are used to this. If you remember with Wes Unseld Jr., every single game the Wizards would start hot. They would have a great game plan. They would start with the right energy, and then they'd collapse. They'd fall apart. Whether that happened in the third or fourth quarter, it happened, and they ended up losing. They couldn't close games. So it seems like the same things are happening with Brian Keefe at the helm, because, you know, getting 14-2 Bucks run to start the half on Friday, and then you come back in Orlando and you get outscored, 22-6 to start the half, 32-17 total in the third quarter. The game's completely over. In the Bucks defense and in the Nets defense, Nets started on a 7-0 run. Both games were still close because the Wizards did enough to grow themselves a lead, whereas in Orlando, they were trailing most of the game. But at the same time, the third quarters have been an issue the entire season. I don't know if the players also need to play with more energy coming out of halftime. I don't know what it is, but it seems like teams kind of get this complex where it's like, yo, like, we're at halftime and we're losing to the Wizards. Let's lock in, guys. Like, let's figure it out. Let's play with more energy. Let's play with more passion. Like, we cannot lose this game, especially for teams that are contending. Like the Magic and Bucks, they're like, we need to stack wins, and we cannot afford to lose to the Wizards. So maybe they like lock in because they don't want to drop a game they should 100% win, and that's why. But you also can't let the Wizards off the hook. They aren't playing well in the third. They're not coming out with energy in the third. They're getting out game planned and out adjusted or whatever the word is in the third, out adjusted, and that can't happen. So you don't, you know, down the stretch you see that Brian Keefe and his staff get better at that, that the players get better at that. But it's been a real issue, and it was a huge issue against Milwaukee. It's the reason they ended up losing that game for the most part, even though Giannis didn't really play that much. In terms of standouts from that game, I mean, the Wizards were trailing by about 9, about 11 to 12, double digits in the fourth quarter. And then they insert Tristan Vucevic down 15 for the first time all game. And, I mean, this is a guy that I think Tristan Vucevic is terrible on defense. Like, let's call spade a spade. He's not great. He's too skinny. He gets back down for the most part, and he's been taking charges now to combat that, which I kind of respect. You know, he's kind of like, look, against a guy like Brooke Lopez, I cannot stand my ground. Like, but I might as well, when I get contacted, maybe fall or you know, shift over and draw a charge, and he's drawn a couple in the last couple of games. So that's a nice development. But when he's not drawing charges, he's getting bullied down low. He's getting out-hustled on the glass. And defensively, it's not it. Offensively, he's got great touch on the inside, a little float game he had going on. Has shown an ability to finish around the rim. Three ball at the top of the key is money. So that's nice. But he brought the energy at least. He came in, drained a jumper, and then got fouled. Didn't play much. He got inserted out of the game, but he kind of created a little bit of a spark there. Wizards embark on a pretty big run to close the game. There was one point where Keyshawn George, and I posted this on Twitter, so you can go see the clip. Giannis posted him up at the top of the key, took him right, tried to bully him. Keyshawn George not only denied Giannis's one-handed layup, but made him double clutch and shoot another one, and Keyshawn two-hand swatted it against a top three, top five player in the league, a former two-time MVP who's in his prime, one of the hardest players to guard one-on-one, and a rookie just did that. And that's not like Keyshawn George has so many clips like that, even against the Nets too, and against the Magic. Like, this kid has been arguably, one could say, with all the injuries to Alex Saar and Bub Carrington, playing well, but not as good as George, one could argue he's been the most consistent Wizards rookie. Because he's always doing it on defense, always. And when the offense is clicking, like he did last night against Brooklyn, you can tell, like, this kid has it. And he's slowly figuring things out, getting more comfortable, which has been cool to see. Middleton, you know, he was pretty solid against his former team. He had a three to bring it to 102-101, a one-point deficit with about a minute and change to go. So that was clutch. But the Wizards, and this was kind of the point of contention here. They were down three with 38 seconds left. You got to think you go to Middleton, they don't. They kind of exchange buckets. Eventually, they're down three with 5 seconds left, right? Wizards have the ball. Call a timeout from Brian Keefe. This was the situation. Like, the Wizards get the rebound, right? Just push the ball up. They were doing it. Jordan Poole had it at half. He was kind of confused, because they didn't really communicate from Brian Keefe, like, are we calling the timeout, are we not? Or at least that's what it seemed like. So that's number one on the you should have communicated that. Number two, just play in the flow of the game. Like, if they foul you up three and make you shoot free throws, then whatever. Make your free throws, foul them, hope they miss. But the Wizards were confused. They didn't know what they wanted to do. Didn't want to get fouled. So then they call a timeout. Because they call that timeout, they give Milwaukee, obviously, a chance to set their defense. On the inbound too, so they get it in to Middleton, but Middleton, when he catches it, has his back to the basket, is in a corner on the wing between the baseline, right, and two Bucks defenders, and he has to, obviously, he wants to shoot it quickly so it doesn't get fouled, but he just forces it up. It's a quick shot and it's not even close. Bucks get the rebound, game over. I'm fine with Middleton getting the shot there. I don't think Poole should have. I think Middleton should have, but Brian Keefe kind of got it to him in a bad situation and made him force up a three so it wouldn't get fouled. It was a really bad inbounds play, compounded with the fact that they didn't really know if they wanted to call a timeout or not. These things need to be communicated. You should just be confident. Let's get the rebound. Let's push up floor. They foul us, make our free throws. If not, don't let them set their defense. Let's get a good look, whether it's Poole or Middleton, whoever's open. Let's get a good look. But that was pretty bad. So, all in all, three-point loss, pretty competitive effort. Kyle Kuzma, to be fair, in his return to DC was pretty good, pretty efficient. Actually not efficient. I mean, what do you have? Like, I think he had 20 points on like 20 shots. So that's just a Kyle Kuzma game. But he scored. So there's that. Alex Saar, career high, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 40% from 3, 4 of 10. Pretty good clip. 2 steals, 1 block. So he was pretty solid. But the downside, then he misses the Orlando game and he misses the Brooklyn game with the ankle injury. And here's my question. You were so cautious, missed 8 games before the break. You brought him back for 1 game before the break because he was healthy, gave him another 7 to 8 days of rest, play him 1 game back, and he's still injured? I don't really understand the disconnect. It's an ankle sprain, probably maybe a high one if he's missing this much time. But that's now 10 games he's missed due to this. And it's not a consistent 10 games. It's kind of flip-flopping back and forth. So I don't really get it, but I guess he's still technically injured in their terms. So there's that. Some housekeeping stuff. Mike Scotto tweeted, the Wizards are doing this thing where they're just signing their best G League players to like 10-day contracts and then releasing them at some point, typically even before the 10 days expire, and signing a new G League player to a 10-day contract. I guess it's they have an open roster spot. Maybe they don't want to pay out somebody or fill that spot. Maybe the money, they just kind of want to reward their G League guys. Like, hey, here's 10 days with the team. I'm pretty sure you get a certain amount of money as well, based on how many years you've been in the league for being on a 10-day contract. So maybe that's like their little way of like kind of trying to retain their G League talent, keep them happy. I don't know, but they started with Noel. They then went to Eric Stevenson, and now they're on Jalen McDaniels, who actually played some minutes against Orlando. Garbage time minutes, but some scattered in between the game and rotation. And I think he's a pretty solid NBA player, good defender, good length. So they did that. He's currently the G League player on the 10-day. Who knows who will be next? But, I mean, in other G League news, A.J. Johnson popped in one of the two Go-Go games against the Bulls affiliate this weekend. The first game, Johnson had 25 points, 6 assists. He was 8 of 17 from the field and 5 of 11 from 3, which is efficient, and a plus 11. Terrific. Very good numbers from Johnson, who I honestly is a G League player right now. He can play in the NBA. You've seen that, but he needs the G League. He's the type of player that really benefits from it. Really raw, has a good skill set, but needs time and reps to develop it. And just not at the NBA level, he'd get killed on both ends. You need him to play against, I guess I call it lesser comp. Maybe build his confidence, build up his skill set, and then the next season, hopefully you can throw him into the NBA fold. Some other notable performances. Eric Stevenson popped 29 points on 6 of 8 from 3 and a plus 20. Newly acquired guard Colby Jones, 17.7 rebounds, 5 steals on 6 of 11. He was great. They played another game the next night. I think Johnson had 18 as well. And so did Jones, but Johnson was also a minus 31, which I think was a team worst. So not going to hype that up. And I watched the game too. He was all right. He wasn't out of this world, so nothing noteworthy. And then you get to Orlando. Middleton, Smart are out, but they played against Brooklyn because it was a back-to-back. So I guess the Wizards were like, yeah, we can play them here, but we're probably not going to win even if we play with them. But if we play Brooklyn with both of them, we're probably going to win, which is how it worked out. You kind of forfeited one win for another, which I guess you sometimes see teams do, but typically they'll play the first night, rest the second. The Wizards were like, we have an inferior opponent here. Why don't we guarantee pretty much that we have a really good shot at a win at home against Brooklyn than having to try to steal one against a great Orlando team on the road? I get it, and it works, so respect. Bilal played, Sarr didn't against Orlando. I mean, pretty much the Wizards' perimeter defense was abysmal. Against an Orlando team that's really not great at shooting threes, they couldn't miss, especially in the third and fourth quarters. Garbage time kind of started at the start of the fourth, so you know it's bad. And again, the Wizards got outscored by a lot in the third. Nothing really noteworthy to take away, I guess, from this game. No one played particularly well. I think Poole led the team with 16 points. Like, nothing great. Vucevic had 12. He was all right. Bubba 13, but like, this is a pretty uneventful, boring, slow-paced game, which entering Orlando was 29th in pace. Washington was fourth. Orlando played a really slow, methodical game. They dictated the pace. They won. So there you have it. That was the Wizards' sixth straight loss, right? So it brings them to the next night against Brooklyn, where it's a spot where you basically said, we're going to lose this game in Orlando. We're going to start Middleton this game. Smart's going to play a lot. And no Sarr again, but we're going to kind of go for the win here. And they did. They played great. Rashawn Holmes, man. Shout out to Rashawn Holmes because he's been kind of an unsung hero ever since the Valanciunas trade. I've really enjoyed watching him play. He brings energy on both ends. And my guy Wizards Film Room tweeted this out, and I couldn't agree more. Rashawn Holmes should have been playing the entire season. He was always better than Bagley, as I maintained. And was he better than Valanciunas? I don't know. But he's a great, great option down low. And the Wizards didn't even give him a look because they didn't think he could build that value the way Valanciunas could. They got 2 seconds for Valanciunas, and now Holmes is playing great. So, like, I don't blame them for not playing him. I know why they didn't. It's just a shame because he's great. He brings the energy. He's a great rebounder. Not the best, like, post scorer. Like, he's got his flaws, obviously. But I really efficient scored at that down low. I like how he plays. I mean, look at this: 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. This is last night against Brooklyn. Plus 7. He is a perfect 3 of 3 from the field. So just 3 shots in 30 minutes. 5 of 5 from the free throw line. What more do you need from a center? That's coming off a double-double against Orlando as well. So, like, he's been great. And he was also awesome against Brooklyn. So I really liked how he played there against the Nets. Another standout was Keyshawn George. And if you want to see some great defensive clips, I tweeted some out. My guy Bijan Todd tweeted some out. There was one play where he just stayed down on Keon Johnson, blocked him. There's another play, another sequence where he's just literally all over the place on defense, rotating, getting out to shooters, closing out. He's so gifted on that end. And it just reminds me of Dandy where, man, does Keyshawn George foul a lot? But you're starting to see him foul less, where he's just he has someone clamped up, and instead of reaching, he's just staying there. Dandy did the best. Like, Dandy would just put his hands up, be like, make the shot. If you make this tough shot over me after the defense I played, respect. And Keyshawn's learning that. He's got to get better at that. But he is getting better at that, to be fair. So I've really, really been an impressed by him. He put together a terrific, terrific all-around game against Brooklyn. 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals on 4-9 from the field, 2-5 from 3, and a plus 14. I mean, that's phenomenal. You're not expecting him to go out and drop 20. He's shooting 40% on 5 shots from 3 efficient. Grabbing rebounds, setting up his teammates with 5 assists, 3 steals and 3 blocks. That's 6 stocks. I mean, that's from a forward technically, but like that's superb. I mean, he's a pest on defense. And so that was really impressive. I thought he played a really good floor game and a really good all-around game. So really liked what I saw from him on Monday. But honestly, since the All-Star break, I think he's been phenomenal. One of the Wizards' best players. So that's been a nice little development for the Wizards. And I mean, in terms of the Nets game, like started well, up 10 after the first quarter, really locked in. Bilal, this is and I want let me talk about this real quick. This has been a problem for Bilal. Bilal will have either a really good first half and do absolutely nothing with it in the second half, or vice versa. He'll do nothing in the first half and pick it up in the second. But putting together two halves has been an issue for him. And so I think it's, most of the time it's a good first half or a good first quarter. I mean, 11 points on perfect 3 of 3 from 3 in the first quarter, and then didn't take a 3 the rest of the game. And it's 3 of 4 in the box score, but if you watch the game, That one missed 3 was the end of the shot clock when he just threw one up from the corner, didn't even touch the net. So, like, basically on all of his actual 3s, he didn't miss. And that was all in the first quarter, all in the first 8 minutes. And he didn't take a regular 3 after that. I mean, it's not like he didn't have any looks. Like, you gotta continue to go. Like, you can't just let a team get you out of your element. And obviously the Nets made adjustments, but you gotta adjust to the adjustment. And Bilal hasn't seemingly shown an ability to do that. He had 20 points, like 4 in the second half, but didn't take a real 3. And I thought he could have been way more aggressive. Let's say that. He could have been way more aggressive, especially on those runs where Washington couldn't seem to score. Brooklyn was kind of clamping on defense. I would have liked to see Bilal take more of an initiative with the ball in his hands, but he didn't. And so, again, he had a great game. I mean, if you go to the box score, 20 points on 7 of 14, 3 of 4 from 3, 4 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, plus 4. Like, not bad. He had 5 fouls, by the way, also 3 turnovers, so some downsides. But it's just the not being able to stack competent halves. And Wizards fans tweet this out. Like, I tweeted that he had a great quarter, and they were like, okay, do it again. Like, yeah, we see this all the time from Bilal, but he doesn't stack the good quarters. He doesn't continue to ball out the way that Wizards fans probably hope he does, which has been, a downside of it. So, obviously not ideal from Bilal there, but finished the game strong, had a couple, pretty clutch baskets in the fourth, and kind of kept the Wizards afloat a little bit there. But again, like I mentioned, third quarter struggles. I mean, 7 of Nets run to start the quarter, 72-71 them at some point in the third pretty quickly. There was a fun point. I tweeted out this clip as well, where Bob and Keon Johnson got into it. They were just fighting for a position for the jump ball, and Bum was like, what are you going to do? A lot of people liked that video. Keyshawn George got into it with a lot of people. The Nets game was chippy. I mean, you had the Claxton flagrant one, two-hand shove on Champagne, which, not to toot my own horn, but I did call exactly that it would be a flagrant. I mean, Champagne was airborne, midair, and he got two-hand shoved by Claxton. It's a dirty play. And a guy like Claxton, he's been ejected three times this season. He's been, I guess, known for plays like that. I don't blame them for giving him a flagrant. And then there was another point where Smart gets the crowd involved. This was probably the most fun part of the game. This is just Marcus Smart encapsulated in one play. The Wizards got called for a pretty soft offensive foul on one end. It was a Middleton kind of contacted. I believe he kind of contacted Zaire Williams, and Williams completely flopped. Middleton started laughing. Come on, man. That's what they called it. And then the very next possession, Smart gets in front of the player he's defending, completely flops. I mean, that's a lot of spade to spade. It was one of the most William flops I've ever seen. But to his credit, draws the charge and gets up and you know, kind of ups up the crowd. And then the very next possession, gets on the floor for a loose ball, hits it out. Nets player eventually deflects it out. Wizards ball. Smart gets up, hypes up the crowd, hypes up his teammates. Caps, or I guess starts an 11-2 run where Poole hit some clutch jumpers. The Wizards had a 6-point lead. It was a really cool moment in the game. Really fun for the Wizards. Down three, back up six in a matter of minutes, really. It all started for Marcus Smart kind of creating a spark on defense, bringing the energy. Exactly what Wizards fans are going to love about Marcus Smart. And I don't know how long he's going to be here, but it seems like it's kind of like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here either, but let's try to, you know, teach some kids how to play defense and how to play with passion, how to prepare. And let's also have some fun with it. He said that post game. He said, look, I just wanted to show people that I still got it. I think the direct quote was, I just wanted to continue to show everybody I still do this shit, which my guy Bijan tweeted out. So, yeah, I mean, he wants to have fun, and that's always cool to see. But he sparked it. Poole closed it out, and the Wizards won 107-99. Like I said, it's the first time all season the Wizards held an opponent under 100 points. Credit the Nets for being terrible, but also credit the Wizards' defense that's been better of late. Poole led with 26 on – he was efficient too. 8-13 from the field, 5-8 from three, plus 13. He had his moments. I mean, there was a point on the fast break where Wizards had all the momentum. It was a 2-on-1. He did one of those, like, jump in between the legs or, like, no look behind the backs, whatever he did to Bilal. Whatever he did was so unnecessary, and he just the defender just read it and stripped Bilal and it went off Bilal, Nets ball. Just one of those bonehead plays that you got every once in a while, every game for the most part, that Jordan Poole's kind of got to mix in there. But let's not let that deceive everyone. He was pretty good, very good, actually. So I was impressed with his overall game. Bilal with 20, George 12. Really cool. Wizard fans are going to love Marcus Smart. It was the Wizards, obviously, were the last team to get double-digit wins, but they did 10 wins on the season. Officially cannot be tied with the Sixers for being the worst 82-game team in the league. They have 10 wins, so they won't have that record. And we always do this. We're at that point of the show where now that I say the record, I'm sure a lot of you are like, okay, so where do they rank in relation to the rest of the team? Specifically, the league, where do they rank in compared to the Jazz and to the Pelicans? So right now, 10-47, the Wizards are the worst team in the league. They have a 3.5-game lead. Oh, scratch that. They have a 4-game lead on both the Pelicans and the Jazz. Those two are tied at 14-43. So that's a full 4-game lead on both those teams. I'm here to tell you right now, I don't even know if the Wizards are going to get to 14 wins. And even if they do, there's no way that Charlotte, New Orleans, and Utah, who all 14 wins, will lose out the rest of the season. They're not going to go on 25-game losing streaks. So I think the Wizards comfortably can get to 15 wins, which is what they had last year, and still not have the worst record, or still have the worst record, I should say, in the league. So I'm not too concerned. I mean, the fifth team is the Raptors at 18 wins. Zero chance the Wizards get to that point whatsoever. And then you got Philly at 20 wins, and I mean, they are terrible. Talk about a team that completely fell apart. It's injuries and all that, I get it, but at the same time, like, they thought this was their title contending team, and you're 20-37, and you might not even get your own pick. They're a team that's about to blatantly tank, which is, again, why the lottery system sucks, because teams tank anyway, but that's beside the point. But that's your tank standings right there. Again, moral of the story, the Wizards are sitting comfortably four-game lead. They're fine. They're going to have the worst record. Let's see what else we want to talk about. I mean, I had some people commenting on Vucevic minutes. I commented that on the beginning of the show, but, I mean, you know why he's not playing. It's defense, and it's also Holmes is playing really well. When Sarr's playing, you want to go with Holmes and Sarr, and he's kind of the odd man out, but he'll get his time. He'll get his minutes. Don't be too concerned about that. But if you're asking why, I would assume that, but also defense too. Champagne's rebounding has been phenomenal. He had 7 boards, I think, against Brooklyn. He just skies for them. So I've been really impressed with that. Let's go to the Memphis pick tracker real quick. Right now, like I said the last time we were talking, regular season record. It doesn't matter how well teams do in the playoffs. It's all about regular season record. And in terms of Memphis, they are currently the, let's see here, tied with New York for the fifth best team in the league, which will put them at a 25-26 right now, if I'm correct, the 25th or 26th pick. I mean, basically, if you're a Wizards fan, like, they're not really going to catch the Cavs, the Thunder, or the Celtics. But you're rooting for the Knicks and the Nuggets. You're rooting for the Lakers and the Rockets that are a little bit behind the Grizzlies. Obviously, Indiana, Milwaukee. Like, you want most of the teams towards the top of the league to win while Memphis continues to lose, because they're not bad enough to where they're going to be a play-in team. Like, they're pretty firmly in the West playoff picture, so you don't have to be concerned about the Wizards not getting the pick. But you want the pick to be as good as it can be. And so that's what you're kind of rooting for. I've kept an eye on that. But right now, it would be the 25th or 26th pick if the season ended today. Apart from that, like, look ahead, kind of going towards the end of this episode, what's on the agenda for the Wizards coming up? I think they said the easiest schedule in the league, if I'm correct. But let's see, is it Thursday that they play? Or Wednesday, sorry. So Wednesday, Denny Avdia returns to Washington as Portland enters town. That'll be cool. I think he'll get a nice tribute video. Should get a nice ovation from the crowd. Had some pretty good years here, especially towards the end. Not much team success. But nonetheless, I think he should get a good standing ovation. I'd be curious to see. I'm sure they'll give him a tribute video too. So that'll be cool. And then at Charlotte, at Miami, you'd hope you could beat Charlotte, but LaMelo's back. They're actually playing decently. And Miami, who's been terrible since the Butler trade, home against Utah after that. That should be a win. And yeah, move on from there. So that's going to do it. Recapped a couple games here. Kind of went back to the old way I did this pod, just because I thought it was noteworthy to kind of touch on some big picture stuff while talking about the overall game. So, you know, a bit of a shorter episode, about half an hour, but concise at that. So, again, rookies are playing pretty solid. Bob's been playing better. Obviously, Keyshawn George has been phenomenal on both ends. Hopefully Alex R returns here at some point. Please stop asking me about Sadiq Bey, because I have no idea. It's coming up on a year since he tore his ACL. He should be healthy. But again, the Wizards have provided zero updates other than he's just continuously out with an ACL injury. So when I have an update, I will provide it, but I do not know. I don't know much about that injury status. So it would be nice if the Wizards gave us a little bit of clarity there, but I guess not. He could play. He could not play. Who knows? But again, that's going to do it for this episode. As always, thank you guys for listening. The support's been crazy lately, so I thank you for that. We'll just have a couple games they can win coming up, and we'll see if they can capitalize on it. 10 wins, last team in the league to do it, but they reached double digits. So yeah, nice little win there for the Wizards against Brooklyn. With some key players playing well down the stretch as well. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Go Wiz.